A striking high-level warning today. When it comes to financial markets, stuff happens. It happens quickly, and you shouldn't forget that. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It has been a nice long stretch for stocks, for bonds, for gold, for Bitcoin. But it's always important to reflect that wispy mare's tails on a nice blue sky can also portend a storm. So cautioned European officials today. Here to discuss that and more as the markets open in the North American time zones is Susan Schmidt, Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
I'll tell you what caught my attention today. The European Central Bank, no less, has this financial stability report. Eurozone countries doing pretty well. Banks stress tested okay. But then they had this warning about a risk of a rapid repricing in global markets, that remains. And they talked about people's risk-taking behavior in global markets, sowing the seeds for large asset price corrections in the future. You know, I suppose it's always true.
Always true, and good for them for reminding everyone that it's true, because I think frequently we forget that the stock market can move in another direction, and that is down. Certainly for Europe, where they're feeling a lot better about the recovery and economic confidence is growing, we have seen a big surge in European and emerging markets prices over the years. So what we're seeing here is a cautionary comment from the ECB that's actually very prudent right now. Don't be surprised if we see some readjustment, because we are moving towards year end where everyone gets very excited and things have a tendency to get a little frothy.
I know. And the warning almost also applies to Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency. You see, this morning it was up another 10%, passed through 10,000 each. It was near 11,000 when I last checked.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And perhaps that's why they put the warning out, is we are seeing a lot of information and news and focus on cryptocurrencies lately. We still don't really know what Bitcoin is. It's not a regulated entity. It's not something that the SEC is looking at. So remember that that is still something that's still speculative, still dangerous. And the fact that it's getting so much attention tells you a little bit about the psychology of the market right now.
All right. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
You count on Marketplace to keep you informed about the economy and then some. It's what we talk about and how we talk about it in what we hope is an approachable, objective, and sometimes unexpected way. As a nonprofit news organization, we have a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. I think it's important work that we're already doing, but with your help, we'll be able to do more of it. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes in knowing that you're helping educate and inform people about the economic forces that affect our lives. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Today, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in a case about that tracking device you never leave home without, the cell phone. Justices will consider whether the Constitution allows law enforcement to search our cell phone records without a warrant. Joining me from Northern California is my colleague Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech. Hi, Molly.
Hi, David.
Tell me about this case, Carpenter v. U.S. What started all this?
It started, I'm afraid, with a string of sort of petty armed robberies. A group of men robbed a bunch of Radio Shack and T-Mobile stores in Michigan and Ohio about 7 years ago. And the mastermind, if you will, was this man named Timothy Ivory Carpenter. He, according to witnesses, planned the robberies and served as a lookout. And to prove that, law enforcement got his cell phone records from his cell phone carrier without a search warrant. Those records, of course, included GPS data about where he had been. Anytime you're carrying your smartphone around and the smartphone is turned on, it is sending location data to all the little cell towers. It creates almost a minute-by-minute mosaic of your life and your activities.
A breadcrumb trail. And this Timothy Carpenter's team is arguing that using that location data in the way that it was used is unconstitutional.
Carpenter is being represented by the ACLU, and the argument is that prosecutors should have to get a search warrant if they want more than 24 hours worth of location data.
What kind of precedents exist that would guide this?
It's a little bit of a mixed bag. In the past, there has been something called a third-party doctrine, where courts have ruled that if you turn over information to a third party, which is exactly what you're doing when you're walking around and your cell phone is pinging all of these towers, that you then don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy, that the information then belongs to that third party. In 1979 is sort of the last time that there was a legal ruling on this. The Supreme Court said that people could not expect the numbers that they dialed from a landline to be kept private because they essentially sent those numbers to the phone company.
Okay, but these days, 2017, our smartphones record a lot more than just the numbers we dialed, right?
Yeah, it is adorable to think there was a time when just our phone numbers were being shared with third-party companies. And courts have been moving in the direction of realizing that. In 2014, the Supreme Court ruled that police can't search physical cell phones without a warrant. But of course, this deals with information that's not in the phone itself, but in the possession of other companies. And I should point out that experts say this is potentially a landmark privacy case because it could have implications not just for location data, but for email, text messages, shopping habits, any of the private data that right now a lot of third-party companies are collecting.
Molly Wood, thank you so much.
My pleasure, David.
And the following involves Apple laptops and desktops, not phones or tablets. Some clever person figured out that if you type in one four-letter word as a login name, you can get into a password-protected Mac. Not that four-letter word, another perfectly benign-sounding one, but not so benign if you leave your MacBook at a coffee shop or you have a prying roommate. This affects only machines that use the latest operating system, High Sierra. Apple says it's working on a fix, but I tweeted a link this morning that suggests a pretty easy temporary solution. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.